This is ENT, the Ed News ticker for Friday, May 18th, 2012. So as you can see, the belated episode. ENT is brought to you by Mingoville Fun Clock. Mingoville Fun Clock is an educational game that'll teach your kid to tell the time. Fun Clock is created by the award-winning educational company Mingoville and available for Android and iOS devices. Visit MingovilleFunClock.com and follow them on Twitter at Mingoville. We thank them for their support of ENT. Welcome to ENT. I'm Kirsten Winkler.
And I'm Christopher Dawson. So in tech news last week, Pearson buys Certiport for $140 million to beef up its IT testing globally. Pearson made a move to beef up its international professional IT testing business and announced it is buying Certiport, a developer, marketer, and distributor of certification exams and practice tests for IT and digital literacy skills, for $140 million in cash from private equity firm Spire Capital Partners. The deal will give Pearson's view unit, where Certiport will sit, much further reach into the retail distribution of testing services in markets outside the U.S. and U.K. Certiport currently sells certifications and assessments through a network of 12,000 testing centers, operated by 70 partners in 150 countries, serving the range of skills in the world of IT. In all, it delivers 225,000 exams in 27 languages every month and generated revenues of $48 million in 2011. So not a bad buy, according to TechCrunch.
And Pearson never won. Shy to make a round of buying.
Bye, bye, bye.
Another story from TechCrunch. The Whitey board launches its version 2 of its paint that turns walls into whiteboards. They are backed by Mark Cuban, which is never a bad thing. So 2 years ago, Whitey board founders Saatchi Subinsky, Sherwin Kim, and Jason Wilk set out to rethink those clunky, inflexible whiteboards we all know and be familiar with in traditional classrooms, well, and offices, of course, around the country. They developed a portable, flexible alternative, an inexpensive and instant plastic board that weighs less than 2 pounds and adheres to any surface without screws. Pretty cool. And now, a new product called Whitey Paint, has since found an eager audience, leading to the fortunate problem of demand quickly outpacing supply. Struggling to finance demand on a bootstrap budget, the founders reached out to Dallas Mavericks owner, Shark Tank investor, and HDNet co-founder Mark Cuban. The startup finally officially announced that it has raised an undisclosed round of seed financing from the billionaire entrepreneur. Undisclosed. So I wonder what they announced besides the name of, we have Mark Cuban as an investor, but as I said in the introduction, it's always a good thing, I guess.
Yes. I'm always looking for, that was the worst thing, is trying to find a good whiteboard. I'm a big whiteboard guy, and they're expensive and a pain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No wonder these are popular. So, apparently not all teachers need whiteboards, though. Teachers are making more money on the web. According to Udemy, a web platform that allows anyone to host and take online classes, this morning, Friday morning, they announced that its top 10 instructors earned a combined $1.6 million over the last 12 months. Of the top 10, all made over $50,000 in the last year, with the highest earner at over $200,000. Teachers Pay Teachers also passed the $7 million mark in earnings last week, with the highest earner, a kindergarten teacher from Georgia named Deanna Jump, have made a total of $700,000 on the platform. She's currently earning $60,000 per month, far more, I'm sure, than her kindergarten teacher salary.
Yeah, what does a kindergarten teacher make in the States? So I suppose over here it will be something like probably $30,000 a year or so.
Yeah, starting like $25,000, and they can work their way up, of course. But she'll be lucky to make that in a year if she's a senior teacher. So
that's really not bad. So even for other jobs, $700,000. Wow! But apparently she does good lessons and builds good courses. People want. That's great.
That's good
for her. Moving on into K-12 and higher ed, so the Wall Street Journal reports that wiping out $90,000 in student loans is possible, and all that in 7 months. Wow. So the story goes that faced with $90,000 in student debt, from his days at Harvard Business School, sure, very expensive. Joe Mihalik vowed last August to eliminate every penny by this summer, and he did, 3 months early. So the 29-year-old from Austin, Texas is now becoming an internet celebrity of sorts as financial advisors and young Americans link to his blog, nomoreharvarddebt.com, if you want to visit, which has 180,000 hits, nice, as of Thursday morning. His story is touching a nerve at a time when young Americans are more indebted than ever. So how did he cut through 90,000 in 7 months? It helps to have a low six-figure salary, as Mihalik does working for Dell Incorporated, but he also recommends getting roommates, a second job, in his case landscaping, foregoing all restaurant dining, even McDonald's, selling all unnecessary items around the house, and getting a flask. Mihalik says he spent months taking a flask of liquor to bars so he could continue to go out drinking with his friends without running up a tab. Apparently the bars, maybe he was hiding in a clever way, so otherwise I cannot imagine bars accepting that.
Obviously he's a clever guy, so that's good.
He's got a good job at Dell, and I mean Harvard Business School. But yeah, pretty impressive. So 90,000, wiping out 90,000 in 7 months, it's good. Respect.
Yes, indeed. Well, and more student loan news. As student loans grow, so does the university leadership pay. Now, students languish in debt, except for last story. Many university presidents enjoy lofty paychecks. Since 1991, salaries of university presidents at public and private universities have roughly doubled, says Andrew Hacker, co-author of Higher Education, How Colleges Are Wasting Our Money and Failing Our Kids, and What We Can Do About It. At public universities, the median compensation for presidents was $375,000, and in 2009 to 2010, according to the Chronicle of Higher Education, the top highest paid boasted compensation ranging from $1.8 million to $728,350. They can certainly pay off their student loans.
So our kindergarten teacher has to sell some more courses on Udemy, but she's scoring pretty okay. I mean, she has around the double of the $275,000, but of course, apparently ranging from 1.88 million or even 728,000, that's a nice salary.
And it's not that they don't work for it, but, you know, I think so much we just see, you know, these figureheads making much more than the President of the United States at universities that aren't so much focused on getting our kids taught. So we will see how that plays out. But that's courtesy of CNN and Fortune magazine.
So the Science Daily has an interesting story on text messaging as a surprisingly good way to get accurate answers to sensitive questions. Text messaging is a surprisingly good way, as I said, to get candid responses to sensitive questions, according to a new study to be presented this week at the annual meeting of the American Association for Public Opinion Research. And I quote, the preliminary results of our study suggest that people are more likely to disclose sensitive information via text messages than in invoice interviews, says Fred Conrad, a cognitive psychologist and director of the program in survey methodology at the University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. Nice title, short ISR. This is sort of surprising, says Conrad, since many people thought that texting would decrease the likelihood of disclosing sensitive information because it creates a persistent visual record of questions and answers that others might see on your phone and in the cloud. Definitely surprising and interesting.
It is interesting. There was research in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, though, about transmission of STD information and education to young people, and they found that they had great results with SMS, interactive results. So something about it.
Definitely.
Well, that closes this episode of ENT. You'll find the links to the articles we covered on EduQuest. Just go to eduquest.com/ENT14, or the number 14. Also, follow the EdNews ticker on Twitter, at EdNewsTicker, to stay up to date during the week. You can also help us with the show. Go to our new subreddit at EdNewsTicker.reddit.com and submit your own articles or vote and comment on those you want us to discuss during the show. ENT will be back on Monday. Today. Until then, have a great weekend, or I hope you had a great weekend since it's a bit of a belated episode. Thanks, everyone.